here's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
Here we go with Al again, huh?
Apparently.
Hey!
I want to stand up and do a little can-can action. What do you think? Yes. That doesn't translate over the air, though, does it?
No. And I don't want to see it, so don't do it.
Our technical director, Tom Coulson, is nodding wildly. Yes, yes.
You mean dead air, Tom?
Yeah.
It's good to have Tom with us, huh? Hey, we're talking, obviously, technology, computers, whatever you want to talk about. But we wanted to bring to light something known as splogging, or splogs, and the subset of that known as sportles. And most of you have already run across these sites that look like worthless, just gibberish with a bunch of ads on it. And why would anybody do such a thing? And we're going to kind of go into that a little bit about why people are doing that and how disruptive it's becoming.
And you're thinking, well, this is just like a small, rogue little thing. No, according to a May 2006 study done by the University of Maryland in Baltimore.
Is that where Baltimore is?
56% of blogs now are actually splogs, meaning they contain some content that...
No, generally they have no content other than they've just raped content from somewhere else. A bunch of gibberish, makes no sense. They focus in on keywords, so when you're searching for something, hopefully you'll come across one of these splogs, thinking that that's, you know, the information you're looking for. You click on it, and it has nothing but ads. And most of you are going to just click on back or close or whatever, but... On occasion, and enough times, obviously, to make it worth their while, some of you are clicking on the actual Google ads that are on the sites. And guess what? That's why they do it. That's where they make their money. When you click on that ad, you're actually costing that advertiser whatever the pay-per-click price is that they're paying, and that dirtball that created that garbage site just got paid.
Well, plus, they're also, in an effort, they're doing this in an effort not only to get you to click, but in an effort to increase search engine results. And search engine results are a way to get your site better ranked so that you get more traffic, so that you... It's a whole circular kind of deal.
Vicious circle.
Vicious circle, that's
so
what I mean.
So they're not going to get rich off of one site. That's why they're putting up hundreds and thousands and sometimes millions of these sites that are all interconnected, so that if you click on any links on one of their splog sites, it takes you to another one. And they're just hoping somewhere along the line you'll click on one of these ads. And by doing that, they can generate money. And it costs them virtually nothing to do because these blog sites, you know, anybody can go and create a blog. It's free. Lots of blogging hosts out there. Blogger.com is one of the big ones. I think Google owns that now.
Google owns lots of stuff.
But because it's free, it's just a matter of time for them to spend to put these things up. And, of course, it's becoming a problem since now the majority of blogs out there are nothing more than junk. Spam. So it's clogging up search engines, it's clogging up blogging systems, it's costing these companies that are trying to provide this great service for, you know, for free to the user. Obviously it's hurting them. It's just a bad situation. They're doing the same thing they did to email. Email used to be this wonderful way to communicate, and then the spammers basically turned it into this nightmare. You know, it's a necessary evil for us, but wouldn't it be great to not have to deal with spam anymore? Remember the good old days there, Mr. Disney?
It's almost like it was yesterday or 4 or 5 years ago. Oh, wait, it was
10 years
ago.
However long ago it was. If you want to learn more about splogs, splogging, sportles, portals, sportles, all that stuff, we've got
spores?
Spores?
S'mores?
No, that would be Dr. Art after us. We've got those posted on our website, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section, and you'll see the resources there below the introduction of the show. If you are a blogger... And I know lots of you out there are. You love this world, this thing that you can just reach out and communicate and give people your thoughts and other people can interact with you. And it's a great art form, great communication method. If you're one of those that's frustrated with splogging, chime on in. Let the world know. Here's your soapbox.
602-277-5827 is the number you'll dial. It's 277-KTAR. Or if you're a little shy or if you get busy signals, you can always... Click on over to datadoctors.com. You click on the radio show section. You'll see links on the right-hand side to ask a question or make a suggestion.
So from this day forward, I want everybody to follow this rule when it comes to a website that looks like there's not anything on there. If it's a bunch of gibberish text and a bunch of Google ads, don't ever click on any of the links. Just click your back button, go back to the Google search results, and go to the next site, because if you click on anything in there, you might be contributing to this problem because you're allowing this person to get paid.
If we all decided that we were going to get rid of things like telemarketers or spam, do you realize we could? If no one purchased from these people, and I mean no one, it would all go away.
But see, the problem here is nobody has to make any kind of a purchase for these guys to be successful. Google has this, quite a few different companies that offer what's called pay-per-click advertising. So I, as an advertiser, can say, I'm willing to pay up to 20 cents, 30 cents, a buck, 2 bucks, 5 bucks, whatever it is, for every click that I get on my website from your advertising mechanism. And usually you see those Google AdWords in your search results. But there's also this thing called the content network that Google allows people to make money on their whatever website it is by hosting some of these Google pay-per-click ads. And that's where this problem kind of erupted. These guys figured out, well, we'll create a million blogs and put Google ads on all the blogs and just sit back and wait for people to click on the links and, you know, we make some money. And significant money. There's a group out of Utah I was reading in one of the magazines that apparently in 3 months' time they racked up about $70,000 worth of revenue because they have so many different properties out there. And of course they're telling you, hey, this is all legal, which it is. It's just an annoyance, just like spam. You know, and at some point maybe they'll come up with some legislation. I'm not sure how you're gonna do it on this. The search engines are fighting these things, but it is a problem, so do your part. Stay away from those sites. When you see that gibberish site with no real content on it that's just got a bunch of ads, don't click on any of the links. It's
not good for you.
It's no good for the internet.
If you're interested, by the way, in talking about your computer issues, questions, problems, we take those calls, of course. We're
sure.
Here to help at 602-277-5827.
Also, love to hear from where you're listening from around the country. Let us know.
Let's start first with Ed. Ed in Peoria, maybe if I can push the right button there, I'll find Ed.
Ed, you're first up on the computer corner. How may we be of assistance?
Hello, how are you today?
Excellent.
Great. I called in before I heard your subject. As soon as you came on, I called in, so my question doesn't relate to your subject.
Not a problem.
But I have Norton Internet Security 2005 on two different computers. I had it on both of them already, and then I had to do some hard drive work on both of them. And now that I've reinstalled it, I actually have to turn Norton Internet Security off to go to just about any website, even to go to Yahoo.
It's doing its job, then. It's protecting you.
Well, I kind of understand that, but I get my email through Yahoo. Is there a way to make a pick list sites that I'll let it go to and so on and so forth?
Yes. You can, in the Norton Internet Security, create what's known as a white list of sites that are okay.
Okay.
They may refer to them as exceptions or something along that line, but basically the idea is the same.
Uh-huh.
Typically speaking, it's the firewall program. Now, you know that Norton Internet Security is a bunch of different programs, right? Antivirus,
right. Yes.
Firewall, that kind of thing. So what you may want to start by doing is disabling not the whole Norton Internet Security suite, but components of, to make sure that it is, that you do know for sure which component is causing this blockage.
Okay.
And my first inclination would be that it would be the firewall program that's not allowing this stuff to happen.
Okay.
It's possible that the spyware program, and it's any number of those things. We're not real big fans of the Norton Internet Security Suite because this is the kind of thing we hear all the time. What, you know, it slows the machine down. It takes, like, the last test that we saw was somewhere between 16 and 17% of your resources just to run this one security suite. And then, obviously, it becomes, you know, it's the same problem we've always had in computers. The more secure you are, the more difficult it is to use.
Is so, there a program that you do recommend?
We like the products that are put out by the company CA, which was formerly known as Computer Associates, but I'm not supposed to say that name anymore. Their products seem to have what we call the smallest footprint. So when you put their products on, unlike a lot of the other products like what you're experiencing, instead of a 16 or 18% usage of your machine's resources, they're down to something like a 3, 4, 5%, depending on the machine and the different configuration and things. But they seem to have significantly less impact, and therefore giving you more ability to actually use your machine. What the Norton Internet Security is kind of like somebody taking seatbelts for a car and going way too far, and instead putting you in a straitjacket. And so now you're safe from accidents, but you also can't really drive very well.
Okay.
So it kind of goes too far. And the other thing you can kind of consider, like Ken was mentioning, you can go in and disable some of the portions of that software. So you could go in and disable the firewall, for example. And if you're running Windows XP, it's got a firewall built in. And so there wouldn't be a whole lot of risk there. In addition, if you have a high-speed internet connection, there's an excellent chance you have a hardware firewall already in place as well.
Is that what kind of connection do you have to the internet?
I do have high-speed, and I am running XP.
And do you have a router, broadband router of some sort, between you and the cable modem?
Yes.
Okay. So you have real good protection from the standpoint of people from the outside trying to get into your machine? The only thing that the software firewall is going to do is alert you when your machine tries to reach out to the internet, which is, you know, all the time.
Right.
So you can try disabling that. And, I mean, the easy way may be, I mean, because the firewall that's built into Windows XP is a lot more forgiving from that standpoint.
Uh-huh.
So you could disable the Norton firewall and either activate the Windows firewall, or if you don't care about having your machine tell you every time somebody's trying to go out to the internet, you can run without one at all.
Okay.
You've got that hardware firewall built in that router that you have. So
okay.
Okay?
There's another software program out there. I don't remember the name, another big name firewall program, but I don't remember what it or antivirus.
McAfee?
Yes. Is that any better?
We prefer the CA product over both of those.
Okay.
They both have the same problem. They've gotten overzealous. There was a time when they were great and we'd recommend them all the time. They've just basically taken advantage of their customers. They're just assuming that they're the most important piece of software that you're going to install. So it's okay for them to take all these resources from your computer. And we just see far too many problems with performance, with this kind of thing where I can't even use my system anymore because it's locked me down and I don't know how to unlock myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there has to be a good balance, and we find the CA products are a lot more balanced in that area.
The CA product available in local stores, or do they have to go online to buy that?
No, it's a fairly common product available just about anywhere that you would shop.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
You betcha.
Good luck with that, Ed.
All right. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a quick timeout here. We got more of your calls and questions, of course, on the other side of the break. It's Ken and Brandon. This is the Computer Corner, and now it's time for Traffic and Weather Together with Lauren Kelly.
All right.